Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Joe, good to be back with you, brother. Last time we talked about what infinite banking is. We talked a little bit about the origin. I know there's more and how it differs from traditional banking. And today is about whole life insurance. Why whole life insurance matters, because that is, as I understand it, the backbone of the infinite banking concept.
Yeah. And the reason why it's important is that it is completely segregated away from other types of assets, other types of financial vehicles that some people might call investments, right? And we have to stay on this thread that says whole life insurance is nowhere near an investment. Right. It doesn't have volatility or changeability. It only goes forward. It only goes up. It's guaranteed, guaranteed, guaranteed. So for people who don't like boring guarantees, for people who are not happy not to lose their money, this probably isn't for you.
It's right? not very exciting, I guess.
It's just a boring, increasing straight line every single year. And Nelson would say, whole life gets better year after year. And the longer you have it, the better it gets. And there's nothing you can do about it. Right. If you want to impose losses on your whole life insurance, you can't. Right. And that's why it's so important to have a pool, a basket of money that you can count on being there. Right. So let's compare it to a savings account. We can only compare a whole life policy to secure, stable type assets like a bond, like a savings account, pretty much nothing else. But the really neat thing about whole life insurance is that there is no other financial product on the planet that you can compare it to, for a number of reasons. So let's say you put a policy on your child, and I have this experience myself. I bought a policy on my daughter, Alex, when she was 6 months old. She's going to be 40 in January, right? So let's say right around 40 years. I put a little bit of money into that policy, and I've religiously put that money in over a long period of time. And that policy will last her if she lives to 110 years old, right? There are no moving parts. Let's say it this way. There are no moving parts in that policy that are detrimental to her. There's no opportunity for market losses. There's no opportunity for the money to go backwards. And she has access to all the money that's been put in plus the growth. So a whole life policy has a guarantee that no other financial product on the planet has, meaning, let's call it 100 years. You have a financial product that's going to stay guaranteed and actually scheduled. You got a written schedule of guarantees in the policy that go out 100 years. There is literally no other financial product like that. So can you rely on the values it says it's going to have 10 years from now? Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a policy that goes 100 years. If we're dealing with a 100-year time frame, then guess what? We have to have a company that's been issuing policies like this for over 100 years. And we could go backwards almost 200 years and see the same type of product, because the insurance companies were kind of experimenting for the first 50 or 60 years, which means in the 1700s, they didn't figure out that they need to have guarantees in the product from beginning to end until about 1840. I mean, 185 years ago. And that product has remained unchanged. Now, there are other fancier products that have come into the market in the last 40 years. And I have to say, this is my bias. This is my reference point. Those products are unproven. And they won't be proven until they're perfected. And just like I said, the first whole life policies didn't work because the insurance companies were charging higher and higher premiums. And they realize, oh, the people that are healthy are not going to stay. The people that are sick are going to keep the policy. So guess what? The insurance company blows up. Well, they figured out how to fix that problem in the early 1800s. And now here we are 185 years later and saying, wow, I have a policy. It's going to give me a life insurance benefit or a death benefit. I can count on the values that are going to be there. I have access to them by loan, by withdrawal, taking dividends, all different ways. And I don't have to worry about asking and having them say no, because I have first dibs on a policy loan against those values. If I've got $50,000 in there, I can borrow $50,000 on a loan against those values. If I have $10,000, I can only borrow $10,000. If I have $1 million, I can borrow $1 million. And the loan terms are different, right? But they're different because they're better. Again, better than any other loan program on the planet. So when you talk about origins, I want to use a product that's been around, that's not going anywhere, that's secure, that's guaranteed, that's backed up by tens of billions of dollars of assets, because we can go into the finances and the balance sheet of insurance companies. But having certainty that when I put money into this thing, I can put it in for the next 50 years. I know it's only going to go up.
Let's talk a little bit about the different types of insurance and why it is that whole life insurance is the foundation for the infinite banking concept.
Sure. So let's just talk about the two extremes for a minute, right? The two extremes for life insurance are term insurance and whole life insurance. And then there are different variations. But let's just go from A being term insurance and Z being whole life. Term insurance is simply buying a death benefit. And so you could buy a term policy for it. And term is a really good word because you're buying it for a period of years or a term, right? It could be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but you're renting that insurance. All you're doing is renting it. And when you think about it, I don't want to compare a life insurance company to a casino, but I'm going to compare the concept to a casino. When I walk into one of those casinos in Las Vegas, which I've done rarely in my life, I know that those billion-dollar casinos were not built by people winning. They were built by people losing their money, right? When you buy a term policy, especially in the shorter term, you're 35 years old, you're 45 years old, and you buy a term policy and you say, oh, this is great. I'm going to buy a $500,000 policy. It costs me $19 a month. That's fantastic. Well, it's only fantastic if you die, right? And so if an insurance company is giving you a policy for $19 a month, do you think they even have an inkling that you're going to die anytime soon? Really? No, of course not. They know because they've done this for a long time. They've done the math. They have actuarial tables that say out of a given 100,000 people who have normal good health in this age range, we know that 1% of them are going to die during the period, this is key, during the period while they hold that term policy. So it's really cool and fancy for me to have a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, I don't care what the number is, sitting on the side of my desk and tell my wife, honey, we're all good. If I die, you've got a $500,000 policy. And she might say to me, well, okay, that's great, but what if you don't die anytime soon? Well, that policy only goes 10 years, so I have to die to collect. Okay, that's not so great.
Getting the ideas, honey.
Right. So the insurance company is literally betting that you're going to live 10 years and you're betting $19 a month that you're going to die, right? What a wonderful arbitrage, right? But meantime, the insurance company takes that little $19 times 100,000 other people that bought the same policy and they put that money to work and they invest it. They create earnings and they put those earnings into their overhead, into their expenses, into paying some of the death claims, right? Because 1% do die or will die. And then they have some excess earnings that go back to, guess who? Policyholders, but not policyholders who have term insurance because all they're doing is renting. No, they're going to pay dividends to the policyholders who have the Z product. They have the whole life, right? So I just want to be clear on what term insurance is. You're renting a policy. It's a placeholder. It's only going to be in effect for a period of time. Once that period of time runs out, you're going to have to go back in, take a new physical. Hopefully, you're still going to be healthy 10 years from now or 20 years from now. And then once you pass the next physical, they're going to charge you a higher premium, but it'll still be rent. So you could rent your term policy for 30 years, start it when you're 35, end it when you're 65, and thinking, well, when I'm 65, I won't have a need for life insurance anymore. And I can tell you, from having met a few hundred thousand people in my lifetime, that's not the way human nature works. When we get to 65, our finances don't automatically become golden, right? All of our debt doesn't automatically become paid off. People don't pay their houses off. They keep them for 7 years and they move and buy a bigger house with a bigger mortgage and they don't pay that one off. And then when they sell their house 20 years from now, they still have a mortgage against it. So what's that term policy going to do? For most people, it's going to do nothing except for the 1% who die. And for the other 99%, do you know what it's good for? It's good because it offers you a guarantee that the insurance company will let you convert. That's what they call it. They let you convert from term to whole life. They're not going to give you any credit on the money you've put in because you paid for the rental. You rented your insurance. You didn't die. The rent was earned. It's like you move into an apartment. You live there 10 years. You don't get anything back. Now, let's look at whole life. With whole life, you're going to get your money back. Live, die, or quit. All right? And let's just use, just for really, really gross round numbers. You put your money into a policy for 10 years. You pretty much have all the money that you've put in cash that you can borrow against, you can withdraw from, you have access to that liquidity. Do you have to wait 10 years? Absolutely not. We have clients that set up policies and they borrow against them in the first year. And depending on your age and how you structure the policy, you've got access to equity in year one. But let's just look at keeping a policy for 10 years. After 10 years, you have access to the money. The life insurance is still there. If you have 100% of all the money that you put in cash value, what did that policy really cost you?
Right.
If you were to just wake up one morning and say, you know what? I just hit the Pennsylvania lottery. I no longer need my life insurance. I'm going to cash it in. Fine. You get every dollar that you put in and probably a little bit of earnings, not very much in the first 10 years because you're about break even. But what does that mean you paid for your insurance? Virtually nothing. You could say, well, I lost the earnings on the money. Absolutely. So what you paid for that insurance was the money you could have earned. And that's a theoretical calculation that we could look at in all different ways, right? But whole life insurance is a positive financial move. It creates more stability for you. The longer you have it, the better it gets. You'll always have access, and I mean always have access to an increasing pool of money. And if you live in this country, every single person I know needs access to an increasing pool of capital for a thousand reasons.
So tell us, Joe, can you give us some of the features, like tie it together for us? We got the idea of the whole life policy. It maintains that value. It gets better over time. So what makes whole life insurance the actual vehicle for infinite banking? I mean, how do the two work together? Because it's not one or the other. They both work together, right? Infinite banking works with your whole life insurance.
Sure. So Nelson tells a story that during a period of time when we had really skyrocketed from 1 year to the next into double-digit inflation, he owed money on raw land that he was buying and he had a mortgage against it. And he had a variable mortgage rate, an interest only. And he went from, you know, 5-7% to about 20%, 22% on this loan. And he says, you know, if I had not been used to already paying very high premiums on my life insurance, I wouldn't have had an alternative place to go to pay off that loan. He said, so I went to my life insurance policies because he owned more than one. He had a portfolio of policies. He went and took a loan against his life insurance and he paid off that mortgage. And what he reminds us is that you can rely on that pool of money if you've built it up, right? If you want to go and borrow against somebody else's pool of money, then you're at their mercy. So if you're going to go and borrow from the bank of ABC, they're going to set the rate. They're going to set the term. They're going to set the payment. They're going to tell you how long you have to pay it back. And they're going to tell you how good a credit risk you are. But if you have an increasing pool of money built up in your policies, once that policy is in effect, you're going to have a fixed loan rate forever. That means if you borrow against those values today, it'll be 4 or 5%. You can pay the loan back. You don't have to pay it back. You're just going to be charged interest only. There is no financial program like that available anywhere on the planet, period, end of story. Now, you borrow that money, you buy that fourplex, you buy that real estate, you buy that flip, you go and do your deal, and you go and put the money back based on the profits you've made. A couple of years later, you're continuing to capitalize your policy. And now you need to borrow twice as much because now you got the hang of it. You really enjoy buying real estate. You say, well, you know, I borrowed $100,000 before. I need to borrow $200,000 now. I mean, Nelson owed $500,000 in the 90s because he understood real estate. He understood investing. He understood how life insurance worked. And he got the edge because he controlled the capital, right? Somebody said, if you control the asset that created the loan, then you can actually get your money back. So imagine you have a loan against your house or against the property or against the business. You've got a loan with a lender or a finance company or the SBA. At the end of the day, those lenders all get their money back plus interest. When you're controlling the banking function, at the end of the day, all the capital comes back to you because it came out of a loan which was taken against your policy values.
And we are.
So we're talking about a guaranteed pool of money that you control.
We got episodes coming up on the loans and actually deploying the policy and doing that work. But today we covered how does whole life insurance work in the infinite banking concept? Why is whole life insurance the foundation of the infinite banking concept? And what features make the whole life policy suitable for the infinite banking concept? Now, Joe, next time I understand we are going to really get down to the nitty gritty and talk about getting started with the infinite banking concept. And we'll have some step-by-step there. But anything you want to say as we're wrapping up this episode?
I think the thing is, most people are relying on hearsay and innuendo and gossip to get their information when what they really need to do is go to a source. And I'm not saying I'm the source, but if you have somebody who's been doing it the same way for a long period of time, you could probably rely on that information that it's accurate. I mean, not only do I understand what it is I'm selling, I own a whole ton of it. And I've been able to use it myself to buy real estate, to build businesses, to make outside investments in privately held companies that I've invested in. I know how it works from the inside out. And I know that the more I'm adding pieces to my monopoly board, I'm really enjoying the fact that I own each of the pieces. Ultimately, I own the board.
That's a whole different game. I love it, man. That is a wrap for today's episode of Make Your Wealth Work. We will be back in your earbuds next time.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.